Christ did die, was buried, and rose again. And I just think it's important for Christians to really stand firm on that, because it is the linchpin, it is the cornerstone of our faith. A lot of times we speak about things, but we forget how powerful the resurrection really was to the Christian, or is to the Christian. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on a list of things. He talks about first that we know that he's risen, and that over 500 saw him, and Cephas saw him, and Paul saw him. And then he begins in verse 12 to start talk about it. He speaks and he makes what they call, what you would call, a negative argument. And what a negative argument is, it's pretty much saying that if this doesn't happen, then this means nothing. Y'all follow me? If y'all stay for a minute, I promise I'll be done. But if this doesn't happen, then this means nothing at all. So Paul goes down, starting in verse 12, and he says, you know, if Christ had not been risen, then our preaching is in vain, is what he says in essence. He says, everything that we say, we will be false teachers. We'll be false witnesses if Jesus had not actually been resurrected. And I think that's important, because what Paul is saying is that if Jesus Christ had not been risen from the dead, had not risen from the dead, then everything else we say is a lie. So it's important for us to really embrace the idea and celebrate the idea that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And then he goes on a little bit further and he says, because Christ rose, we can have faith in essence. And I'm just paraphrasing because I'm moving quickly. We can have faith that those who die in Christ will also rise. Now that's a point for me, a point of celebration, because I have lost some ones. I've lost some loved ones in my life, some people that I hope to see again. And I feel good about seeing them again, because I know when God got up from the grave, he conquered death. So if he got up, he says that he will bring back. They, when he rises up, they will be brought to him. So those people who have died in before time, and those people who have died in my lifetime, will be able to be raised up again simply because God conquered death. And I'm just excited about that. And then he goes on to say, he says, not only if God hadn't risen, we would be false teachers. He also says, then our baptism, that you know, what we believe, that if you are baptized, then our baptism will be in vain. And then he gets to this topic that we quote a lot. And I'll just start at verse 29. He says, now, if there is no resurrection, what will those who are baptized, what will those who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized, or why baptize for them? And as for us, why do you endanger yourself? He said, now I'm walking around here and I'm facing all kind of persecution. If God had not been risen, then why risk my life on a daily basis? He said, I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what will I have gained if the dead are not rise? So no matter what I do, nothing matters if God has not risen. And then he said, we might as well just say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. It means that life doesn't even have any meaning. You know, the song says, and life is just, is worth the living because he lives. Now, I don't need these keys right now, but he felt like I did. Thank you, son. But we sing a song that says, because he lives, and it says, and life is worth the living because he lives. Well, how can God live if he had never been resurrected? But God was raised. And then he says, and this is a piece of scripture that we look at pretty often. And a lot of times we quote the scripture, do not be deceived. Bad communication corrupts good morals or corrupts good character. Now, that scripture can be taken and put in a number of different places. But I want to just for a second deal with that passage, because the context of it makes the resurrection so powerful. Watch this. Paul has given, laid out why the resurrection is so important all the way up through 1 through 29. And then he does it all the way at the end. As a matter of fact, he ends the chapter, if I'm not mistaken, with be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, we use those scriptures, but we don't always connect those scriptures with the resurrection. What Paul is telling them is this. He says, there are people, this is the context. There are people out there that will tell you all kind of things as it relates to God rising from the dead. And they, if you're not careful, they will ruin your religion. This is the context. But he says to them, don't you be deceived. Hanging around with good people, or hanging around with people who do not believe that Jesus was raised, will mess up your good character. Now, I know we use that passage of scripture all the time, and when we use it for a number of different things, but I want you to understand, when Paul was addressing that specific scripture, he's actually dealing with those people who are teaching things other than Christ being raised. Y'all follow me on that? So I want you to understand, be careful who you hang out with. Be careful when you spend a lot of your time with those people who don't believe in God. Because those people who don't believe in God don't believe that God was risen. And if they don't believe that God was risen, they don't have faith. And because they don't have faith, they will mess up your faith. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's why, it's a good passage to go along with it, and we use it a lot with marriage, where it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Right. Now, let me help you why that's so important. Y'all, some of y'all from the country, so y'all know what a yoke is. Y'all know what a yoke is, don't you? All right, a yoke is often put around the neck of oxen. And oxen have the yoke, and they are responsible for pulling at the same pace. Y'all follow me? Pulling at the same pace. Now, if you have two oxen and one of them is pulling and the other one is not, the field can't be plowed. Y'all follow? I'm almost through. Y'all see I came down. I'm almost finished. Goodness gracious. They were hard today, Brother Jones. So now be careful. So what he's saying is don't be unequally yoked. He's saying you got to be careful when you're pulling in one direction and somebody else or the person that you are connected to is pulling in another direction. Because it's impossible for you to get things done unless you work together. Well, here we are. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, do not be deceived. If you spend all of your time with people who do not believe that God has resurrected, they will mess you up. I forgot to tell y'all what the title of this sermon was. It's called Good Company. You need to make sure that you keep good company. Because good company will allow you to plow together. Y'all, I told this the other day to the young adults, I think it was. I said, now listen, don't fool yourself. If none of your friends serve God, you ain't either. I just want to make this real clear. Let's be real clear. If all of your friends or none of your friends ever spend any time with God and you spend your time with them, you ain't spending no time with God either. So you better be careful and make sure that you spend your time with good company. And then Paul says this, and that's because we all find ourselves struggling every now and then. We all find ourselves sometimes around people that we don't need to be. But he says in verse 34, come back to your senses.
as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. So Paul says, watch out with the people that you hang around. Get you some good company. Because when you're in bad company, when you believe in those people who don't believe in God, they'll mess you up. Yeah. But then he adds to it, he says, so what I need you to do, if you have people around you that do not serve God, I need you to come back to your senses. Get around some good folk. And then you'll have a different result. That's the message. Sometimes we are so frustrated as we go throughout our week, and we can't figure out why things won't go right. Sometimes, let me tell you, church, it's because of the people that you hang around. You can't spend your whole time talking about you want to be holy and don't have nobody holy around you. I'm trying to tell you, where my whole people, ain't nobody in my job holy. Well, maybe you should start making some people holy by the way that you act. You know, when they ask me, they say, Darwin, you want to go to happy hour after work? I just don't go. Y'all got quiet. Oh, my goodness. What I'm trying to tell you is, it's important for you in order to receive the blessings of God. In order for you to receive the blessings of God, you got to be around some godly people. And to make it through your week on a consistent basis, you got to be around some good folk. Sometimes your folk are messing up for you. I was telling one of my students the other day, they got to decide they wanted to smoke. Right? They wanted to smoke in one of the classrooms. We are supposed to be outside working on field day. They just snuck in and they got one smoke, right? I said, boy, y'all some crazy people. Anyway, I come in the building. I had a meeting and I got back in the building. They said, Dr. Mason, we got some kids smoking. And I said, did we catch them smoking? She said, no, we didn't catch him smoking. But you just go on down there. So I walked on down to the room, and I still smell smoke. And when we pulled the kids out, one boy said, I was smoking this Black and Mild. I was smoking. He said, go ahead and give me my days. What he told me. He said, I know you're about to get me. Go ahead and give me my days. Well, the young lady came out. And she said, I wasn't smoking. I said, wait a minute. I said, what you mean you weren't smoking? I wasn't smoking. I was just in there. I said, listen, you're going to get some days too. I said, we got 300 students. 298 of them in that room. But you was in there. And whether you were smoking, now, first of all, let me tell you this. I don't believe she wasn't smoking. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is, I said, look, if you had not have been in there, you would not have got in trouble. But because you was in there, you're going to get the same thing that the man that was smoking was doing. Y'all follow me? Yeah. Sometimes we receive, we don't get what we're supposed to get, and we get some things we don't think we should get, punishment, consequences, and it's because you got bad companies you hanging out with. I don't care who they are. Sometimes your boss is bad company. Yeah, sometimes your boss is bad company. Do not be misled. Do not be deceived. Bad company. Those people who do not believe in God will ruin your good character. Come to your senses. Get yourself together. Be close to those people who love God. I just learned that when I surround myself by people who love God, life is just a little bit easier. Amen. It's a little bit easier. You know, some things I don't worry about. I don't worry about the man coming to my house to go get the drugs out from underneath my house. Ain't none in there. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about the police pulling me up. Well, I'm worried about the police pulling me up. But I ain't worried about the police pulling me over and finding nothing illegal. And I just don't hang around them kind of people. Watch who you hang out with. This week, I just challenge you to spend more time than not with godly people. Wake up, find somebody godly to call. When you get on Instagram, Facebook, find somebody godly to look at. Yeah. When you get in conversations, find something godly to talk about. Yeah, I'm just trying to help you. Just find it, just surround yourself with godliness and watch how your day works. It just matters. Go ahead and stand to your feet. That's it. All I got. Godly people will help you. And I believe that that's the reason why God gave us Christians, is gave us each other, because he realized that we needed one another to be able to walk through this earth. Amen. You can't make it around this place by yourself. And it's going to be real hard for you to make it if you hang around people that don't believe what God believes. The resurrection is real. Be around people who believe in the resurrection. Because if they believe in the resurrection and they believe that God is real, then it impacts the way that they live. Right. If you hang around with people that don't believe in the resurrection, they're going to impact you negatively. Hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's the message right there, is that Jesus did die, was buried, and was raised again. Believe that. Repent, confess it. Repent, confess his name, and then be baptized. And then some of you might say, well, I know all of that stuff, but my company is a little rough. Well, let's pray that you find some better company. I know some of you say, I try to find some better company. Well, you might need some prayer to get some help. Bad people will find you. You know that, don't you? I told my teachers the other day, I said, you know the reason why we lose our kids to the gangs? They said, why? I said, because the gangs welcome them. If we were a little bit more welcoming, see, the gangs protect you. They say, you hang with us. You don't have to worry about this, this, that, and that. That's how they draw you in. Now, later on, they're going to ask you to commit a life of crime. But the first thing they're going to say is, when you're with us, you're a little bit better. So sometimes you're trying to get away from bad people. They just continue to just latch on, and you need some help. Come on, pray about it. And then let us surround you with good people. And I guarantee if you surround yourself with good people, bad people won't stay around long. You can do that right now as we sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain.